Okay, good evening, everybody. We're now giving the third High Holiday class. The next one is going to be Saturday night. It's going to be the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha. So I want to thank you very much for joining me tonight. Tonight we're going to be looking at the prayer of the Kohen Gadol, which is in our Machzor on page, well, at least in the article Machzor, it's on page 570. We're going to get to when this prayer was said, what it was all about. But before we get into the Machzor component, I just want to share a few thoughts which I've seen from a number of different sources, because when one actually studies it and looks into a little more detail, we find that there are different versions of the prayer which is under discussion. For example, here you see on your screen the Rambam in the Laws of Avodas Yom Kippurim, who describes how when the Kohen Gadol would come out of the Holy of Holies, we know on Yom Kippur the Kohen Gadol would enter the Holy of Holies four times, and every single time that he would go in, based on what we know from the Torah, he was essentially putting his life in his own hands. If he did something wrong, or if the Bnei Yisrael were for whatever reason undeserving, he could die when he went in there. So the fact that he came out and came out alive in one piece, and as the Machzor puts it, "Bishalom b'li fega," in peace without injury. So this was in and of itself a source for a prayer of thanks. And the Rambam writes that he would issue, and I'm sorry that it's only in Hebrew, but I will translate everything, that after Achar Shigatza, after he would come out, he would pray in the Heichal. The Heichal is the sanctuary, but not the inner sanctuary, the Holy of Holies. He would pray a short prayer. Why? So people should not get too worried about him, because he went in, oh my goodness, what's taking him so long? So it would be a very short prayer, because they might think that he died. And the Rambam says this is what his prayer was. May it be your will, Hashem, our God. That if this year in front of us is supposed to be a hot one, that it should be a rainy one. And the scepter shouldn't leave the house of Yehuda. In other words, assuming that there was a kingdom, that the kingdom was in the hands of the tribe of Yehuda. In other words, descendants of David HaMelech. People should not need any kind of assistance in having their parnasa, their income. And the prayers of those who are traveling should not come before you. That's a strange one, right? What does it mean, the prayers of those who are traveling? We're familiar with the idea of tefillas haderech, right? What's tefillas haderech? Tefillas haderech is somebody who's traveling saying that I shouldn't have any problems along the road. So most of the commentaries who address this say that the people who are traveling say, I don't want any rain. I don't want any rain because that's going to get in the way of my traveling. So nowadays it's less of an issue because when we're driving in a car, so even though it could be dangerous when it's raining, but at least we're not going to get soaked and have our trip ruined, assuming that we stay safe and no other problems. So that's less of an issue. But certainly in antiquity, the idea of people praying that there shouldn't be any rain could be terrible for the country if they're actually heeded and listened to during a time when the rain is needed during a time when it is necessary. Okay, so that's the Rambam's version of this. There is another short version of this prayer, which appears in Vayikra Rabbah. It appears in other places as well. You'll notice that Parshas Achrei Mos is the Torah reading for on Yom Kippur, because it describes the Avodah of Yom Kippur, where it mentions another prayer, but you'll see how it's a little different, because it describes how this takes place with Seisom and Amikdash, when he comes out of the actual temple. The previous one talked about when he came out of the Holy of Holies, but was still in the sanctuary. In other words, he hadn't emerged. This one is saying that he had emerged. People can see him. They see that he's alive. They see that he's okay. And he would say the following in this version. Yeretzon fanecha, may it be your will, God. Shetehei shana gishuma shchuna telula. So this means maybe a rainy season, a hot season. And telula means a moist season. I'm not sure if moisture means like dew. It probably does mean dew because of the word tal, as opposed to humid. So a season in which we have dew. Shnas ratzon, shnas nedava, shnas zol, shnas sova, shnas maso matan. So these are all kinds of Well, ratzon is maybe desirous before you, but the other things are depictions of bounty in the in our community. Shnas maso mata in a time of business. V'al yitzdarchu amcha beis Yisrael elul elu, and the Bnei Yisrael should not need one another. I don't know about you, but in the last few weeks, I've been getting many, many emails from organizations locally and especially in Israel, telling me about the effects of the pandemic on charitable organizations and the people in Israel. And obviously there is a tremendous need. The Kohen Gadol would be asking that the Bnei Yisrael would not need assistance for one another. Not only that, that people should not lord anything over one another. Sharara means to make themselves into leaders. Leaders, but not leaders. Leaders is a nice word. Rulers over one another. They shouldn't impose their will on others. You shouldn't have that kind of relationship amongst the people. And don't turn, once again, to the prayers of those who are traveling, which we've already explained. The Midrash here adds two other things that the rabbis of Caesarea would add regarding their brethren in Caesarea, which is a similar blessing that we've already seen, that they should not lord anything over one another. And the rabbis of the south would say, regarding our brethren in the Sharon area, so the Sharon area is an area which basically everybody describes as having a softer ground, and as a result, houses would sink into the ground. They'd have to rebuild their houses twice every 7 years. And so the idea was that shouldn't happen at any point in a manner which is speedy and expeditious, which would cause people to be unable to escape before their house would sink into the ground. And of course, if they were unable to escape, what would that mean? That their houses turns into their graves because they can't get out, and they're stuck underneath the mud. And of course, they would die. And once they're dead and buried, nobody's going to be taking them out. So that was a concern which is talked about as well. Now, I have here another passage which is the Yedid Nefesh. Yedid Nefesh is a commentary. It's kind of like a mini Rashi commentary on the Yerushalmi. So you see here that everything is essentially vowelized, but where it's not vowelized, that's his comment. So what we're going to look through now in reading through this is the way that he essentially just walks us through the Yerushalmi's version. Now, the Yerushalmi, the Talmud Yerushalmi in Yoma, as you see here, Yoma, gives us a more expanded version of the prayer of the Kohen Gadol. And I discovered in one of the articles that I read on this subject that there are different versions in the Nusach Sfarad Siddur versus the Nusach Ashkenaz Siddur. Now, what does that mean? That mean that depending on if the Kohen was a Sephardi or an Ashkenazi, he would have a different prayer? It seems a little silly, because that kind of breakdown of the Jewish community didn't exist at that point in time. Maybe Sadducees and Pharisees, but not Sephardim and Ashkenazim, that's for sure. But the Yerushalmi is a little more reflective, I think, of the Sephardic version. The Babli has a different version as well, so which I did not bring for you tonight. But nevertheless, when we get to the version that we have in the Yom Kippur Machzor, in the Ashkenaz Yom Kippur Machzor, we'll get a larger sense of all of the components which are put in there, because I think this one, the one that's in our Machzor, is a little more expanded. But anyway, so the Yerushalmi describes how the Kohen Gadol would make this short prayer in the outer, you know, sanctum, outer sanctum. And this was his prayer on Yom HaKippurim. That's what this stands for. But say so b'shalom and HaKodesh, when he came out in peace from the holy. Okay, in other words, the Kodesh HaKodeshim. Yiratzon v'nachas Hashem Elokeinu k'evo seinu. So may it be your will, our God and the God of our ancestors. Shalot teitzei leinu galus lo b'yam hazeh v'lo b'shana hazos. That we should not have exile. Galus means exile, not on this day and not in this year. And if we do have a galus, he says, Tehei galusenu l'makom shel Torah. But if we do have an exile, this is fascinating, we should have an exile to a place of Torah. Now, it's an interesting question, and we'll get back to this in a couple of minutes. What galus is he talking about? The galus that he may be referring to is not a galus, not an exile of that comes about from an enemy nation that destroys the Beis HaMikdash and sends the people out of the land. But it may be referring to the idea of galus, which is talked about in the Torah. Galus, which is talked about in the Torah, exile, which is talked about in the Torah, is if a person kills accidentally. If a person kills accidentally, the person is required to go to a city of refuge, what's called in the Torah's language an ir miklat, a city of refuge. And one of the fascinating points related to that is that the Arei Miklat typically were cities of Levim. We'll see this in a few minutes too. But the one of the more important roles that the Levim played in the story of the Bnei Yisrael in the land of Israel was that they were the teachers of Torah. And so what he's saying is that if a person does need to have galus, the galus should be going to a Levite city, because that would give them the opportunity to be in a makom Torah, in a place of Torah, so that even in their exile, they can have the opportunity to study and to connect with God, even under these unfortunate circumstances. Continuing, may it be your will, shalo yitzei leinu chisaron lo b'yom hazeh v'lo b'shana hazos, that we shouldn't have any losses during this time. What losses are, I mean, chisaron usually means financial, but the next line explains things a little differently. Im yetzei aleinu chisaron b'yom hazeh b'shana hazos, that if we have some kind of loss in this day or in this year, yehei chisroneinu b'chisaron shel mitzvos, let it be a loss over the loss of mitzvos. What does that mean? And here's the Yedid Nefesh's comment, shenidag tamid ulai chasarnu lasos eza mitzvah min ha-mitzvos, that the loss that we have is that we have to worry that maybe we missed out on doing a mitzvah. So the title of this class is what is the Kohen Gadol's message for our times? So certainly that's a message that is always applicable, not just our specific times. I'm going to get to, you know, what we've all been dealing with for the last 6 months towards the conclusion of this class. But this message is something which is always relevant, that we want to feel that we are not missing out on the opportunity to fulfill mitzvos. Yeretzon Lefanecha, he continues and says, Hashem Elokeinu Hoseinu, Shetei Hashana Zol, Shnas Zol, Shnas Sova, Shnas Masa Umatan, Shnas Keshuma Keshuma Ushchuna. This is a line which we saw before in the earlier passage which I showed you, the different levels of bounty, which we don't want to be missing out on. We saw that in the Vayikra Rabbah, and the weather issue, which we're going to get to as well, which he does explain very briefly here, that if it is hot, the Kohen Gadol asks that we have rain and dew during the coming year. Continuing, he says, Shelo yitztorch amcha Yisrael eilu eilu, atifna l'tfilas yotzei terachim, that people should not need one another, should not be reliant on one another, not to follow the prayers of those who are going out to travel, because they're going to pray for the rain to stop. And then he also mentions what we saw regarding the rabbis of Caesarea and the rabbis of the Sharon, etc. And then this passage in Yerushalmi continues and tells us a couple of stories. Number one, that he would not have a lengthened prayer because he didn't want to worry people, which we already saw. And then he says that there was a story, this is in the Yerushalmi, there was a story with one Kohen Gadol that had a lengthier prayer, and they came and they decided, Lihikaneh Sakharov, to go inside to check if he was okay, maybe he had died. And they said about this Kohen Gadol that it was Shimon HaTzadik. And they said to him, why did you have a lengthier prayer? And he said to them, I was praying regarding the Beis HaMikdash that it should not be destroyed. And they said to him, that's very nice, but nevertheless, you still shouldn't have had such a lengthy prayer. Okay, it's reminiscent of God at the splitting of the sea, saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, stop praying, Daber al Bnei Yisrael v'Yisoh, tell everybody to move. And sometimes there's a reminder that prayer is warranted, and sometimes there's a reminder that action is what's warranted. And so the people were saying, we were so worried about you that this prayer is not as important as your emerging. So that's the first story. The second story that the Yerushalmi tells us is also regarding Shimon HaTzadik. We're not going to read it inside. But basically, after 40 years of serving as Kohen Gadol, he came out and he said to everybody, I'm going to die this year. And they said to him, why on earth would you say that? And he said that this every time I would go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, a Zakein Echad, an elderly gentleman who's dressed in white and wrapped in white, would come with me, and he would come out with me. But this year he entered with me, but he did not come out with me. And so the conclusion of the Gemara is, they say, Mi'amar li dahavi barnash, who said that that was a human being? Okay? Ani omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu haya. So the answer that they give is that Shimon HaTzadik, yeah, he saw a man, but the man was God essentially escorting him in. And the fact that God did not escort him out in this vision that he merited to have indicated to him that he was not going to survive the year. And indeed, that was the case, because Shimon HaTzadik was a Kohen Gadol for 40 years. Okay, so here's the Talmud Yerushalmi in its glory, without the Yidid Nefesh's comments. You could see where he mentions the story of Shimon HaTzadik, that there was a Zakein Echad, Lavush Livanim, etc. And all the parts which are underlined here are points which I'm going to show you now on the next page here, where the Karbon HaEda, it's a commentary on the Yerushalmi, he comments. So you'll forgive me if we're jumping back and forth, but I want you to see the context and his comment. So the beginning of his prayer was Shalot Tzeilenu Galus, that we should not have an exile, not today and not in the coming year. Here's the Karbon HaEda, Gzar Din Milfanav Biyom Hazeh V'Shanah Zos SheYiglu Yisrael. So the first point that he's making is that there should not be a full on exile, that we should not have an enemy come in and throw us out. The idea of Shalot. The other one was Galusenu L'Makom Torah. I didn't highlight that, but I'm going to now. That if we do have a Galus, it should be to a place of Torah. L'Makom Shel Torah. The Anish Yechol Nasok B'Torah. This is referencing that if they do have a full exile, it's a little different than the one I said before about the tribe of Levi, but that if they do have an exile, they should be able to study Torah where they are. So, but Mashik Golan M'Makom L'Makom L'Lilmot Torah. Maybe it should be like a personal exile for people to be able to go from place to place to study Torah. So that's another message for our time. You know, while we are living in a place which we call Galus, okay, and the truth is that even people living in Israel, to a certain degree, even though it is the land of Israel and even though it's Eretz Yisrael, as long as there is no Beis HaMikdash, we are living in a state of Galus, a state of exile, and therefore what we want to see is the opportunity to study Torah. And that is a universal Jewish hope and a universal Jewish message that we should be able to do so. Shelo yetze aleinu chisaron, he says, b'mamon, that we should not have a loss of money. The second chisaron that he mentioned it was chisaron shel mitzvos, and here that is, which mitzvos should we not be missing out on? Tzedakos ugemilos chasadim. Now, tzedakos means charity, right? It could also mean tzidkus, depends on how you read it, which is righteousness, and gemilus chasadim is the opportunity to do chasadim. That is a message for all time, that we want to be able to live up to our mission of being people who practice tzedek u mishpat, that's righteousness and justice, but also gemilus chasadim. The idea of tzedek and mishpat, of fulfilling our destiny, of being people who stand for righteousness and justice, that comes from what God says about Avram Avinu. If you remember, before God destroys the city of Sodom, he says, how can I hide from Abraham that which I'm going to do? I know about Abraham that he is a person who is going to teach his children to live by the example of practicing tzedakah u'mishpat, righteousness and justice. What is Abraham's main calling card that we know about Abraham? What's his most sought after and most imitated character trait that we love so much about Avram is titain chesed li'Avraham, right? Avram is the man of chesed. So when we see here it's tzedakos or tzidkos, gemilas chasadim, that's just channeling our inner Avram Avinu, the one of whom we are his descendants, and what God said about Avram's descendants, that is what we do. Shnas Geshuma. So remember, there was a reference to the weather. I don't have to go back to see it. So this we already said. There shouldn't be too much. Lo yoter midai. Shouldn't be too much rain. Elagam Shchuna. We need to have heat, utlula, and dew, or moisture, which he actually explains to be Chama Vatzel. We should have sunlight, and we should have shade. Okay, the next point that the Yerushalmi had mentioned is that Am Yisrael should not need Elu LeElu. They should not need one another. So here we see, he says, Elu LeElu, Elu V'kol Shekein L'Umos Acheros. They certainly should not need other nations. Right? We shouldn't be reliant on imports. We shouldn't be reliant on their economy. Lash Nacharina Shehem is Baishim Zebazeh. Another explanation of what Elu LeElu means, that the B'nai Yisrael should not be embarrassed from one another, of one another. Okay, in other words, I don't know if this is exactly what it means. What he means, that if people are so needy, it can become a source of embarrassment. I mean, look at how pathetic we are. I don't want to suggest that people who are needy are pathetic. Chalil v'chas, obviously, the needy are in the world for a reason, and the needy are in the world so that we can do chesed for them. Those of us who are not needy can do chesed for them and can help them. But the idea of not being embarrassed from one another is also a factor which he would pray for. Letfilos yotzei derachim. So this I already shared with you, that those who go out and travel, they pray that rain should not fall. Shelo yigu shrarazu al gabezu. The people should not exercise their authority over one another. Shelo, listen to this. Shelo yishlod afilu harav behatzair bishvil shrarus. That even the older should not lord themselves over the younger, just to have that feeling of saying, I can rule over others. I mean, there's an element of freedom, personal responsibility, which is being described over here, and that people should not assume any kind of authority over other people, and should be able to live and let live. That's a very important feature of what the Yerushalmi is talking about, or the prayer of the Kohen Gadol, rather, is talking about. And that is something which I certainly would emphasize in this time period. Anshei Asharon. So here he describes the idea that they would have to. This is what it says: Pa'amayim b'shavua, that twice every seven. Shavua usually means a week, but shavua literally means seven, and it's referring to how twice every 7 years they would have to fix up their homes, which is what I explained to you earlier. And the rest of this is just describing why the Kohen Gadol wouldn't delay with his prayer, because they didn't want people to think that he was dead. And regarding the elderly man that accompanied Shimon HaTzadik, the Korban Eidah says that's a kinui laKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, it's referencing God who accompanied him in some way in a vision that looked like an elderly person. Okay, so we have established at least an important text of the prayer of the Kohen Gadol. And now, before we look at the two more texts, before we look at the text which we have in our Machzor, I want to share with you a few more insights from a couple of articles that I saw on the subject of the prayer of the Kohen Gadol. So the first one is in an article about Avodas Yom HaKippurim, written by Rabbi Yaakov Chaim Sofer. So after sharing the text of the Yerushalmi and the Midrash Tanchuma, we saw a similar version to the Tanchuma in the Vayikra Rabbah. He adds two pieces which he found in the Seder HaAvoda Atakonanta. He says that there is a line, Shelo tapil isha pri bitna, that a woman should not miscarry. And Sheyitnu atzei asadeh estenu vasam. I'm going to stop the sharing of the screen for a moment, okay? And that the trees of the field should give their bounty. Another text, phrase which he found in a version which is Miyuchas LeYonatan, okay? That's I don't know where he found the source, because he didn't reference that, but that the Kohen Gadol would say Shelo Yikashlu B'Gimel Averos Chamuros, that the people should not fall prey to violating the three cardinal sins being Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shfichas Damim, the idolatry and immorality and murder. He also quotes the Maharsha, who's a commentary on the Talmud, from Makos page Daf Yud Aleph. There, the Gemara has a lengthy conversation about how the Kohen Gadol's death was the escape clause for people who were in Galus that I mentioned earlier. And the Gemara and the Mishnayos actually talk about how the Kohen Gadol's mother would come into the Ir Miklat, to the City of Refuge, and they would give out food, and they would give out trinkets, and they would give out all kinds of gifts to the people who were there, because they didn't want these people who were in exile to pray for the Kohen Gadol's mother, the Kohen Gadol, to die. So the mother of the Kohen Gadol would say, you know, will you please not pray that my son die? Or will you pray that he not die? There are different versions in the Talmud. And the point being that a component of what he would pray for, says the Marsha, is that there should not be accidental murders. Accidental murder, and the Gemara, this is what the Gemara talks about, that the whole reason why his death is connected to their escape, in other words, their allowance to leave the City of Refuge, is because he did not pray enough for his generation, that there shouldn't be accidental murders. Okay, and that, I think, is also a message for our time. Right? One of the big concerns that everybody has is who may be an asymptomatic carrier, who might be dangerous. Okay, I mean, I prefer to trust people. I prefer to think that that somebody who's healthy is healthy. Not everybody agrees, but the Kohen Gadol's prayer to say that nobody should be guilty of these kinds of sins or these kinds of mistakes is something which is extremely relevant in our time. We need to pray that nobody should accidentally infect somebody. We need to pray that we should be successful in maintaining a healthy community. Okay, another reason why the Kohen Gadol, would not want to die, who wants to die, right? But he wouldn't want to die, so others can be mimalei makom, that they can fill his place. Not entirely clear on what Rabbi Sofer was mentioning with that. So I'm going to move on. Another thing that he should pray for is mechilas ha'avon, that he would pray that the people should just be forgiven for their sins. Now that's also part of the Avodas Yom HaKippurim and the confession which he would do. That's the whole thing that we do when and when we bow down on the floor and we prostrate ourselves, imitating what took place in the Beis HaMikdash. So that's an element of the forgiveness of sin that the Kohen Gadol would ask for. But that's one element, right? Part of the Avoda. And the second element was this prayer, assuming that he would mention that. The other component, which we actually saw in the Yerushalmi, is that he would pray, or at least Shimon HaTzadik prayed, that the Beis HaMikdash should not be destroyed. In an article in Halichos by Alter Wilner, which is on the topic of Seder Avoda B'Yom HaKippurim, so he brings the text of the Rambam, which we saw at the very beginning of the very short prayer. He quotes Rashbam, that's Rashi's grandson, who said that whether on Rosh Hashanah, would determine if he talk about the weather. Okay, we saw that phrase, and everybody addresses this question of the Geshuma, the Shechuna, and the Telula, about if it was rainy, he would ask for warmth. If it was too hot, he would ask for rain and for the Tal, and if that means heat and shade. So that's something which the Rashbam mentions. The Maharsha says, why would the Kohen Gadol focus on the weather? I mean, everybody talks about the weather. What's the expression? I mean, I'm sure it's a good expression that a lot of people know, but the first time I heard it was from the cook in camp, who had a very interesting accent. He said, everybody always talks about the weather, but nobody ever does anything about the weather. But the Kohen Gadol would talk about it because he had the power to do something about it. So the Marsha says, why? Why would the Kohen Gadol talk about the weather? Because the weather, the reality is, the weather carries with it life and death. Now, thank God we live in a time where, whether we're living in Florida or whether wherever we live, where we have heat in our homes, we have air conditioning in our homes, we can control our own climate. If we go outside, it's for a limited amount of time, when the weather could be particularly dangerous on account of either too much heat or too much cold. And we can more or less control those things. But once upon a time, without these modern efficient systems which we have, the weather could be extremely, extremely bad. Now, this is also something which is extremely relevant for our time. We all know, for example, that the United States and perhaps even the world, I don't know, talks every year about what's called a flu season. What's a flu season? A flu season, I don't know exactly when it starts, but it's sometime in the fall, and it lasts through until, I don't know, sometime towards the end of the winter. And then when the spring and summer comes, they say, flu season's over. So we don't count, we don't add the flu deaths from last year to this coming year. I don't even know if we count the flu deaths which happened during the summer, because the flu season is over. And why is there a flu season during the winter? Because the winter is considered a time when the virus is something which can spread more than during heat, when usually the heat kills it. And so, you know, in what we're dealing with now, we should see an end of a season, and we should see the winter not come and make things worse, because we all want life to return to normal. So if indeed the Kohen Gadol is mentioning things which carry life and death, such as the weather, then that is something which we need in our prayers in this time as well. The Kohen Gadol's going into details about the weather. He would also say, and this is Rabbi Alter quotes in the name of Rabbi Chaim Karlinsky, is specifically that if the weather is going to be hot, or if it has been hot, then it should be sure to rain. If it has been rainy, if it has been too cold, then it should be hotter. And if the weather has been unclear, then he talks about it should be shechuna, gishuma utula, which means a healthy balance of all the things that we need. He goes on to say that the Kohen Gadol might also say shehem tidirim v'chiyunim bioter l'kiyum ha'am v'artzo, that all of these weather questions are that they should be consistent, and that there should be a healthfulness in the nation to preserve the nation in the land. If we are healthy in our land, then everything can be good. That is, I mean, when you look at the news coming out of Israel, maybe it's political moves. I know a lot of people are upset. I've seen different reactions from different kinds of people. When they're locking down the country, you can't go a kilometer out of your house. Can't go a kilometer out of your house because they want to stem the tide of the spread. I saw the head of the I think it's the health department, like the CDC equivalent. No, sorry, it was, yes, that's who it was. The head of the health department, who said, I don't know if this measure is warranted. It's going to have a devastating toll on the economy. But if that's what the government decided, then so be it. So I want to give the blessing to everybody who has to make decisions, that they should be blessed to make the right decisions. Not to ever be too extreme, but to give people a little credit, because people are very upset, and that's okay. Not to say that what's going on is a good thing, but I don't know enough information. I don't know if anybody has enough information about the difference between people testing positive, being asymptomatic or symptomatic, and whatever that means. People who need hospitalization versus don't need hospitalization. What we want is for the Kohen Gadol to pray for us that nobody should need hospitalization, everybody should be asymptomatic or nothing, and that we should all be able to move on with life, because that is something which we all yearn for. And he concludes mentioning the point which we also saw in the Yerushalmi, that people should not have sharara over one another, that they should not rule over one another in a way which is debilitating to others. Okay, getting back to one more commentary, and then we're going to go to the prayer itself. Okay, this is from Rabbi Yisachar Tamar. Rabbi Yisachar Tamar was born in the late 1800s and died in 1982. His book is Alei Tamar, and it's a commentary, obviously, on the Yerushalmi. He was a big fan of the Yerushalmi, fell in love with it sometime, I don't remember exactly when, probably after World War II, and spent a lot of his time dedicated to its study. So I didn't erase everything because I wanted to keep this file, but we're going to jump just from bold comment to bold comment that I highlighted in this document, so that we can see some of the insights that he has on many of the components of the prayer of the Kohen Gadol that we have seen up until now. Of course, as mentioned, this is his comments on the version of the prayer that is in the Yerushalmi. So he notes over here in the introduction that this is the prayer of the Kohen Gadol Ubibavli Nusach Acher, the Babylonian Talmud has a different text, which goes to show Mikan Shaloya Nusach Kohen Gadol, Nusach Kavul Tfilas Kohen Gadol, that there was not. It's not like the Kohen, this means that there wasn't a set text. Okay, it's not like the Kohen Gadol would come out of the Kodesh HaKodeshim and they'd hand him a laminated placard and they'd say to him, "Here, Kohen Gadol, read your prayer." It didn't work that way. It was flexible. It was flexible because the Kohen Gadol was responding to the times. So that's very relevant to what we're doing. We're dealing with something that we've never dealt with before. We're dealing with something which we've never seen before. And so the Kohen Gadol's prayer for us in this year would reflect on the current realities. Yehi ratzon uv'seder avod ametzkach v'nusach tefila Kohen Gadol shana shetalichenu kamil se'artzenu. So here he references some of the things which we actually have in our text, in our version, which we're going to get to soon. But you see that Rabbi Tamar is referencing shnas ta'alenu b'simcha le'artzenu, that you should bring us back to our land. We should rise up in joy to come to our land. Shnas navol le'beis mikdashenu, here that we should come to our beis hamikdash. So he says that this prayer of the Kohen Gadol, I mean, what does it mean that the Kohen Gadol is saying that we should come to the Beis HaMikdash? I mean, isn't that obvious? If the Kohen Gadol is making this prayer while there's a Beis HaMikdash, so what do you need to make such a statement for? And the answer is that it's a message for all time. Even if there is no Beis HaMikdash, we want to at least pine for the Beis HaMikdash. Certainly when there is a Beis HaMikdash, people should be able to come, people should be able to participate in the events of the Beis HaMikdash. We have a mitzvah three times a year on the holidays, so that's one thing which he's mentioning. But look at what he says. This is the source for what we say at the end of Ne'ilah, that L'shana Hava B'Yerushalayim, that next year we should be in Jerusalem, which is a commemoration of the prayer of the Kohen Gadol. And he even says that in Israel they should say, or at least there are some who say, that we should say B'shana Hava B'Yerushalayim Habnuya. There's a debate about that, and that's what he mentions in the next two lines, whether we should add the word rebuilt Jerusalem if being in Israel. But in either case, the sentiment is the same, that next year should be in Jerusalem, and as long as there isn't a Beis HaMikdash, that's something which we want to see. The next part here, I actually already referenced, I'm going to skip it. It's the part where he says, where he talks about how being gola, right, being exiled to a place of Torah, references the Arei Miklat, which are the cities of refuge, which are cities of the Levi'im, because the Levi'im were those who taught Torah. And so he says that if a person does get a galus, it should be a galus yafeh. It should be a nice galus, not the kind of exile and suffering, but one in which Torah can be studied, and because it's the strength of Torah, which is the strength of the Jewish people. I think there was one more. Okay? Shalo yagbiu sharara zo al zo. That we should not have, people should not be lording over others. They shouldn't be telling people what to do. Look what Rabbi Tamar says. And remember, this is in the 1900s. This is not today, but it's very recent. He says, Kama zekukim anu l'tfila zubadarenu, dora apalaga. How desperate are we for this prayer in our generation, this generation of dispersion? You know, the Dor HaPalagah, that's the way that the Tower of Babel people are described in the Torah. And he's describing the people in his generation. Look, I mean, for us, not just the Jewish people, but in the country that we're in, the United States, with the election that's coming up, with all that's been going on, virus, yeah, that's one thing. But with all this stuff about racism and all this stuff about justice and the rioting and the looting and the violence and defund the police, what is an oilam hafuch? It is a world which is overturned. He says, how much do we need people to stop telling others what to do? Right now we live in what's called a cancel culture, that if the mob mentality doesn't agree with what you said or what you did, they will destroy you, at least on the internet. And who knows, how many times does somebody say the wrong thing, they're the wrong people, or that the wrong people get a jump on, and then the person all of a sudden loses their job, can't make a living, can't be hired. This is a terrible time in which we live, and that's also an important message of the Kohen Gadol, that people should not be able to rule over one another in this kind of way, where we're destroying people's lives. Mi palagot, mi mifalagot, shanot, shikol achad, sheifata la'aros chaverta, Everyone's goal is to destroy their friend. And to rule over one another. What an important message for our time. Okay, I think this was the last one over here. Okay, and on Shei Sharon, he would say, for the people of Sharon, he would say, so we talked about that, about the concern over their houses falling. So that the Alei Tamar, Rabbi Tamar, is expanding it and saying, if there seems to be some kind of decree, this is also such an important message for our time. If there seems to be some kind of decree or difficulty on any city or community, again, the Kohen Gadol didn't have a script. The Kohen Gadol would include any community that had some kind of tzara. This year, the Kohen Gadol would have to list hundreds, if not thousands, of communities around the world that they're going through a tzara, a difficult time, and therefore he would have to adjust accordingly, or he would just say, you know, every kahila, every community in the world needs to get past where they are, and regarding the Anshei HaSharon, let's say somehow they figured out how to build in their land, and if the houses were somehow built much stronger, and they don't have to worry about the danger of things falling. He says, "Kamuvan, hotzi piska zumit kulaso." He would take that out. I remember years ago seeing some. I went to a Frank Lloyd Wright museum. Frank Lloyd Wright was a famous architect who lived in Wisconsin, but he did different projects around the world. And he was hired to build a hotel in Japan. I don't remember where. Maybe it was Tokyo. I don't remember, or Kobe. Some place that was very prone to having earthquakes. And he was hired specifically to drill and to make the foundation very, very deep so that it could withstand an earthquake. And in the video, in this museum, in which they just shared the feature of that one, there was a terrible earthquake sometime after he had built the hotel. And he was sent a letter by somebody important in Japan, saying, you know, with all the devastation that has happened, this entire town is in ruins. It's a great message of hope to see your hotel completely standing. And then the camera pans to see all the devastation and this hotel standing amidst the ruins of mamish everything. So the hope is that with all the devastation, we should be spared. We should not even be needing of such a tefillah. But of course, we are in need of such a tefillah. And finally, he says, "Upashat shemir desivos ka'elu panu anshe agolah gam l'kohen gadol bakasha chen inecha biachicha shebagolah." And it's clear, he says, that in all kinds of circumstances, the people who are in the exile would turn to the Kohen Gadol. Maybe they would write letters to him, and they would say, "You know, place your eye upon your brethren in the golah." And he would say, regarding the anshe agolah, regarding the people of the diaspora, "Yiratzon shelo yasu batayim kivrayim." That their homes should also not turn into their graves. Okay, and I mean, how that would happen? He gave another example of floods and whatever, all kinds of things that could theoretically happen, earthquakes, etc. Okay, so that's what we get from the Alei Tamar. Now, with all of this, I want to bring this class to its conclusion by reading to you the message of the Kohen Gadol, as we have it in our Machzor. In the interest of time, I'm going to read it to you in English, but the ones that I want to highlight, because it's actually an Aleph Beis acrostic, the ones that I want to highlight, I'm going to read both in English and in Hebrew, and the ones that I'm highlighting are, as per the title of this class, very relevant to our time. So it goes as follows. And I'm reading from the Art Scroll Machzor's translation, page 571. "May it be your will, Hashem, our God, and the God of our forefathers, that this year that is coming upon us, upon all your people, the family of Israel, be a year in which you open your treasury for us. Aleph is a year of abundance. Beis is a shnas bracha, a year of blessing. Oy, do we need a bracha? Gimel is shnas gzeros tavos milfanecha, a year of beneficial decrees from before you. We absolutely need that. And I'm not, and by highlighting the things that I'm highlighting, I'm not suggesting that the other things are things which we don't need. But for the particular needs of this year and our current times, I'm going to highlight, as I mentioned, the ones which I plan to. So we continue. Dalet is a year of grain, wine, and oil. Hey is a year of expansiveness, success, and permanence. Vav is a viud beis mikdashecha, a year of assembly in your holy temple. So yes, it may be referring to the beis hamikdash, but I would say it's for our mikdash me'at, we need a year of assembly. It is so sad. It is so tragic in a way that our assemblies in shul these days have so few people and that we are limited. And so we need this to end so that we can gather again in our mikdash me'at and feel once again a sense of community. Zayin is a year of affordable prices. Ches, shnas chayim tovim milafanecha, a year of good life from before you. Need I say more? That is what we want. I've been telling everybody. Not shana tova. We need a shana yoter tova than the last one. Shana that is better than the one which we had, because the last 6 months have been, I don't even know how to describe them. But we need something which is much better than what we've experienced thus far this year. Tess is a year that is dewy and rainy if it is hot. That's a reference to something which we spent a little time on. Yud is a year when choice fruits sweeten their produce. Chaf, a year of atonement for all our iniquities. Lamed, a year in which we will bless our food and our drink. Mem is a year of commerce. Nun is a year when we can come to our holy temple. Sorry, I can stop sharing the screen. A year in which we can come to our holy temple. Samach, a year of prosperity. Ayin is Shnas Oneg, a year of delight. Can we use a better blessing than that? A time when we can enjoy one another's company, a time when we can enjoy life in a way that we were used to. Pei is a year in which you will bless the fruit of our womb and the fruit of our land. Tzadi is a shnas tseisenu uvoenu tivarech, a year in which you will bless our going and coming. That when we leave our house and we come back into our house, we shouldn't have to worry about anything. When we travel anywhere, we shouldn't have to worry about anything. We shouldn't have to need to quarantine anywhere. We shouldn't have to need to worry that we're infecting anybody or anything like that. Say seinu vo'enu, our comings and goings should be without worry. Kuf, shenas kelenu soshia, and we're a year in which you will save our community. Save our community. How relevant is that? Extremely relevant. We want... And I don't mean just in terms of saving our lives. I don't know how many people feel that their lives are mamish in danger. Maybe some people do, maybe some people don't. But what I'm concerned about in a very significant way, and I know this from speaking to a lot of colleagues and in speaking to people in shuls around the country, that the situation that we are faced with now is a universal one. Every shul is suffering. People in many communities are trying to figure out how to daven with a minyan, how to figure it out, how to do it with the shul's permission, without the shul's permission, in a responsible way, in an irresponsible way. Communities are at risk of being torn apart. And so this prayer, for me, is one which is extremely relevant, a year in which you will save our community, not just a life or death one. That's one issue, which we've already talked about, but that the community should somehow find the strength to hold things together, to be strong, to remain united, and to have achdus, that we should remember all the things that we love about our community, and we should continue to pray that we can see it again, that we should reemerge, and that we should have the community that we so love. Reish nasracha mecha yikamaru aleinu, a year in which your compassion will be stirred upon us. God, we need your compassion so that we can move on. Shin shnas shalom v'shalva, your peace and tranquility. Oy, do we need that as well. Going to continue reading the rest of this. Tough, a year in which you will lead us with upright pride to our land. A year in which no woman will miscarry the fruit of her womb. A year in which you will bring us up joyously to our land. A year in which your people Israel need not be dependent upon one another, upon another people, as you bestow blessing upon their handiwork. And concerning the inhabitants of the Sharon, he would say, may it be your will, Hashem, our God, and the God of our forefathers, that their homes not become their graves. And I want to conclude with that thought because it's the most, to me, it's one of the most important ones that I'm going to share tonight. And while everybody does explain that the Sharon issue of their homes not being their graves is, as I mentioned earlier, about the soft ground and the homes sinking and needing to be rebuilt a couple times every 7 years, my big concern, and this is my concluding message, is that our homes should not become our graves. When we find ourselves in isolation, when we find ourselves in a situation in which we are not emerging, when we find ourselves quarantining ourselves and not seeing other people, we run the risk, and I know people to whom this has happened, people for whom social interaction was their life, was what kept them alive, and the mental anguish which social isolation has put on some people. Some of the people that I'm talking about are extremely elderly. I'm not necessarily talking about people of our community, but the extremely elderly in particular. But anybody who's homebound and not seeing anybody, especially people who live alone, but even people who are married, who are homebound, could have such a devastation on them. So the idea of not making our houses into our graves means that we should not allow ourselves to suffer a mental death at home. A mental death which comes because we're not stimulating the mind, we're not learning Torah, we're not reading books, we're not asking questions, we're not writing reports or articles about the things that we're reading, we're not communicating with people. Some people in this time period have told me about the tremendous amount of work that they've done and that they've gotten accomplished even without going out all that much or at all, because their mind is constantly being utilized to explore topics, to communicate with people, to lead even from a distance in whatever areas that they are connected to other people. If we are not stimulating our mind, if we're not getting out and having physical activity, if we're not walking, if we're not moving, we are going to die. Maybe we'll be alive, but we are going to die up here. And that is a very, very deep concern. There's a lot of mental anguish, mental uncertainty that people are experiencing. Maybe some people are aware of it, maybe some people are not aware of it. And so the prayer for the people of the Sharon, that their homes should not become their graves, is a concern which I have. I'm not worried as much about sinkholes and about earthquakes and about people actually dying because their house falls apart. But I am worried about the mental toll that is taking place on account of what is going on. And so I echo the prayer of the Kohen Gadol and say that may even be one of his, if not most important messages, that we need to emerge from the mental isolation. We need to recapture what tefillah means for ourselves. We need to recapture what Torah study is for ourselves. We need to recapture any form of mental stimulation and physical activity that we can engage in, because that is what is so important for our health. We should change our eating habits if our eating habits are not so good for ourselves in these current times, so that our health can be given the boost that it needs, so that when we do emerge, we are as healthy, if not even better, than we were when we started. Let us not fall prey to making our homes be our mental graves. So I want to wish us all a Shana Tova, a Gemar Chasima Tova. May the blessings of the Kohen Gadol, all the blessings which we've heard about tonight, come true. May they serve as a merit for us, for all Bnei Yisrael, and for the world. May we see a return to normalcy from this temporary abnormal situation which we find ourselves. May we all be blessed with health and nachas, and a Shana Yoter Tova for us and for all of Bnei Yisrael.